Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way and the warm way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Togo.
That would be a little weird. You can get a coffee to go.
To go.
At Strange Brew.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not Togo, that's the African nation that's, you know, borders Benin.
That would be an excellent place for a coffee shop, though. In Togo.
In Togo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that the correct way to pronounce it?
You know, I don't know. Okay.
Lee Battelle, if you've gotten back from your duck hunt, can you please correct us if it needs to be corrected?
That's not his area of the state, though. So that's more your area. It's just outside. I think it's in Noxubee.
Well, that actually is Lee's area of expertise, as much as any place in the entire state.
All right, well, we'll just move on.
Lee is a Noxubee man.
I didn't know that. I thought he was a Deltasman.
No, he's not. I mean, he is, but his hometown is. I'm not sure if it's Macon, because I mean they get real ornery about that. I'm from Ashulaville, and I'm from Sugarlock. So I don't know if that's where he's from,
we're going to get a text.
He's a Noxubee man.
All right. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. All the cool Mardi Gras stuff still going on at Strange Brew and Churn and Spoon, King Cake Frappes, King Cake Ice Cream, and just King Cake if you want to have that as well. It's over
there.
Do
they have King Cake?
I think you can order a King Cake from them.
Oh.
So we need to get them. We need a King Cake in here.
We do need a King Cake. We might have to talk to Robert St. John about that.
I've been wondering about, you know what, we'll get to that later. I want to talk, he's making these treks around the state. Let's get up here, buddy.
Can you bring some Loblolly King Cake to us?
Yeah, what did we not do?
I thought we were friends. I think he's done enough for us, let's be honest.
The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I was checking the weather. This Saturday, sunny and in the 50s.
Okay.
We can grill. Get out there and fire them up. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill this weekend. No MSU basketball in Starkville. That means you can stay home, watch some college hoops, watch the NFL playoffs, and grill this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And I know that you are looking for it. Guys, it's freezing cold outside. If you don't have a great MSU pullover, jacket, sweatshirt, hoodie, go to College Corner and grab one. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, best meal in town. Always, always at Restaurant Tyler. You know, we're getting close to Valentine's Day, guys. It's getting around that time. I might recommend a reservation at Restaurant Tyler for you and your special someone. Because, why not? Because, you know, you don't have to have a special someone to have a great meal at Restaurant Tyler. But, you know, it doesn't hurt.
The guest room might be a little tougher to get in there on Valentine's Day. But you could try it.
You can try it.
And the good news is the food is going to be good
no matter where you sit. So if you want to have a great, great meal on Valentine's Day, make your reservations now for a meal at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Nowadays, more than ever, it's so important that when you have questions about your money that you get answers, that you get them in a timely fashion, that you talk to people who seem to actually care about you. You can't get that with those big corporate banks. You can get it with the bank like Priority One Bank because they're a Mississippi business, they're a Mississippi bank, and they are a community business before everything else. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Before we get into MSU sports, I had received this news when we recorded last night, but we obviously wanted to keep it under wraps until such time as his family had a chance to make their arrangements and such. But I wanted to say a heartfelt, a goodbye to Paul Gallo. They called him the godfather of Super Talk Radio. I will certainly agree with that assessment. A titan of a man who every politician who in the state of Mississippi knew who he was and respected him and respected his opinion, and I respected him very much. The first time I was on his show, hilarious. Guy, he's just like, Brian, I can almost do his voice. His is deeper than mine. He's just like, Brian, tell me all about yourself. Born in America? It's like...
He saw the hey dad.
He's like, I got to scope this guy out right now. So every time I was on his show, it was a pleasure, even though it was early in the morning.
You pushed me into that after the national championship game. I get in from the national championship game at like 2 a.m. in Omaha. Hey, Gallo wants to get on with you tomorrow. Okay, that's fine.
I can't take and
oh, by the way, it's at 6 a.m. Yeah. or whatever.
Alex Payton, who does our she schedules all of our guests for every show outside of Sports Talk. She schedules the guests for Gallo and for middays. And she would, whenever she's like, we want to have you on Gallo, I'd be like, last hour.
Yeah.
I'll come in at the 8 o'clock. Do not call me at 6:20. I will not do it.
I don't know how he did that every single morning.
The man was a machine. He would get up at 3 in the morning, do all his research, and come to the – I mean – A number of different people told us through the years, like, if he ever wanted to do a national show, he could do it and be successful.
Yeah.
That's how prepared he was. A great radio man, but a great man just on top of that. And we will sorely miss him here at Super Talk. Rest in peace to my friend Paul Gallo. Big shoes to fill, and we'll see how Super Talk's going to do that. I know a lot of you are going to ask the question, like, what's going to happen? I don't know the answers yet. So when you know me, when I have the answers, you'll have the answers.
And like the most important thing is honoring him right now.
That's what we're gonna get to, yeah. So,
but whoever does it, I know Super Talk's gonna do a good job of filling that. But
absolutely.
Yeah, rest in peace to Paul, and also thoughts to his family
and his
closest friends too, because that's a massive void.
Yeah, I mean, in the last few years, Super Talk's lost JT and then lose Paul Gallo. I mean, those are the
cornerstones
of this great network. So, all right. Let's move into some sports here. Mississippi State at Tennessee tonight.
I can't. This whole time you've been talking, I've been looking at this 360 shot of the crowd the other night.
Yeah, yeah. We're up in there.
It is the most, I could sit here for hours and look at this and just look at I'm looking at every section and just seeing these people, some who are absolutely oblivious and others that are actually posing for this.
Yeah, some people realize what was going on. I did not. Otherwise, I would have. You and I could have done something. But
I keep forgetting that, like, you can zoom in and see people very well.
Yeah,
like, so maybe I should pose next time. We look like a bunch of morons up here.
I didn't know what was happening.
It's really no different than usual. The media looks like a bunch of morons all the time. But like,
hold on, I'm going to see this. That's all it is. I had no idea that if I had known, I would have been like, Robbie, we should do something. And like, just like, had you like choking me or something. I don't know.
Next time we're going to do that.
We'll do that. Yeah. For next time. Probably be a foot. And what was crazy, I was telling you, is like those pictures is like, it's the football games are the ones that blow my mind. Like, you get a clear picture of 50,000 people sometimes. Like, I don't know how they do that.
If you want to find out who was at the game as far as recruits,
you can go look.
Good look here. I think J.J. Hill went there with Anthony Tucker. 2 weeks in a row that J.J. Hill was on campus, which I think is a good thing. I know
good sign.
He's already committed, but
doesn't matter.
Everybody that I talked to at Tupelo is like, he ain't going to stick. And so continuing to get him here.
Don't make people mad to start the show.
I'm just telling you, people, and it's not from anything that they've heard. It's just that they don't think State's going to be able to hold on to him. They think he's going to be highly recruited.
Right.
But everything that I've heard from Mississippi State side is they feel really good about him sticking. They have a great relationship with him. And like I said, every time you have him on campus is a good thing. So as of right now, I don't have anything bad to say about Anthony Tucker.
Yeah, he's done well.
He was one of the guys that
he's
of people
so
just
quiet.
A lot of people were not just over the moon when they hired him. But my gosh, how can you complain about him? The running backs got better last year every week. They were better. By the end of the year, that was one of your better groups.
It is your best room right
now. And this might be the best running back room they've had since when? I mean,
Moorhead's first year. You had Harris Williams, Colin Hill, and Nick Gibson.
Probably so.
Yeah.
This one might even be better. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
You got a guy, Davon Booth, that's a fifth year guy that was your best running back last year. He's back. Your second best running back's back. Plus, you added a top five portal running back. So, not a lot of bad things to say about Anthony Tucker right now. I don't know if you had any plans of talking about any of that, but
I didn't.
Hey, here we are. Like we said yesterday, this is our show. We can say and do whatever we want to.
This is our show is a different thing.
Correct. This is our podcast.
Yes, this is our Mississippi State, Tennessee. So you go back and you look at Tennessee. Came into conference play undefeated and got a win to start. They have been a bad team on the road. In conference play, they have played three road games. They lose by 30 at Florida. They lose by one this past Saturday at Vanderbilt, which had one of the craziest endings we've seen in some time. Where Vandy, they fouled the guy
like
up three.
Yeah.
Or whatever, like, this made no sense. And then they won a close game at Texas, where Texas had them on the ropes a little bit, but they were able to hold on. Texas is just not very good. Their two home games, they've won by double digits. They beat Arkansas by 24. It's so funny to go back and see that ranking by Arkansas's name. That won't happen again this year.
That was strictly, well, it wasn't just because of Calipari.
They were good in non-conference, but yeah. And then they beat Georgia by 18 last week on Wednesday. So this game being in Tennessee, being in Knoxville, Mississippi State will be a decided underdog. However, State last year played Tennessee twice, beat Tennessee twice, beat them in Starkville, and then beat them at the SEC tournament. And, you know, with Dalton Kinect gone, this team is not as good offensively as it was a season ago. They are an elite defensive team, though. They're giving up 59 points per game. Four players in double figures, led by Chaz Lanier at 18 points per game. Zakai Ziegler, just Mr. Consistency for this team, 12 points a game, 138 assists in 18 games. I mean, just playing really, really well. Another guy that I keep an eye on, not averaging double figures, but Felix Okpara, 31 block shots on the season. He can be up for. They just are, you know, and that's something that a Rick Barnes team has always been known for, is being really good defensively. For Mississippi State, you know, a season ago, you would have looked at this game and go, God, this is going to be one of those 58-54 disgusting games to watch. State can score a little bit more now. I'm very interested to see how they attack this Tennessee defense.
Very interested in that. Interested in to see how they come out in this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Auburn game was not a good performance, and that's going on the road. I thought going into that game, and I think Chris Jans would agree with me, that the team kind of played pretty well on the road so far this year. It's a team kind of built for the road. They're built for that environment. They're built to handle it. I didn't think they handled that well. And that's going to be the challenge in this game, is how do they handle that environment at Tennessee? It's a very interesting arena. It's not like Auburn Arena. It's a much bigger, more spacious, a little darker arena.
Like, yeah, you can't, it's like, old.
It is, and it's large. Like,
it's 22,000 plus. Yeah,
it's a big giant arena. It's like going to Rupp, but a little.
It
little
was
different.
Weird back in the day when Tennessee sucked at basketball, and they had this massive arena that they would never
really
feel.
Yeah, but you know, their fans are excited about it. You know, Rick Barnes has done an excellent job since he was hired there. He was kind of the turning point, I feel like, in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Where the SEC started to really, truly invest in hiring great coaches.
Yeah.
Him and Pearl, and then I thought State was kind of at the forefront of that with Ben Howland.
Yeah, it just didn't work the way you wanted.
Howland turned things around and made Mississippi State a respectable place.
And another one that was, and it didn't work out as well, but the hiring of Avery Johnson at Alabama. It didn't work out great, but they've got a former NBA head coach.
Yeah.
There. I mean, that was, yeah, those hires, because especially with Auburn and Alabama and Tennessee, those were schools that were basically like, we play football and then we play spring football.
Yeah.
And that you're correct in that State was always a school that tried to win at basketball. They had Stansberry all those years. They had Richard Williams. Those were the schools where they just didn't care about basketball as much, especially in the 80s and 90s and in the early 2000s.
And I wonder if, like, this investment has something to do, too, with the fact that you're starting – I mean, it might be just indirect, but you're starting this revenue-sharing thing,
mm-hmm.
and basketball, people are realizing, can make a lot of money, too. I don't think that's a new concept. I think people knew that basketball was going to be able to make money. I mean, that's not – I mean, we all know that's a revenue sport, but I just think it's a place where you can kind of – put your hand into two spots here and pull a lot of money in with football and basketball. It's worth the investment. You know, it's not like for a lot of schools, it's not worth the investment in women's basketball and baseball and things like that. Basketball, it is. And I think everybody in the SEC is realizing we need to be pulling in money from everywhere. So that could be, you know, that could be a thought process. But all that to say, back around to this game, I don't know what to expect. Going into Tuesday's game, I thought State did a really good job bouncing back.
Mm-hmm.
They needed that badly. And after that game, it appears that, you know, people outside of Starkville, outside of Mississippi, they realize that Mississippi State and Ole Miss are both premier basketball teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get penalized for losing to Auburn. You go on the road and lose to a number one ranked team, and you moved up four spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people are very high on Mississippi State at this point. They've proven who they are. Now they got to go out there and they got to win tough games. This is a tough game that they are going to have to go on the road and win. And it's going to be a difficult task. I don't think it's a must win by any means, but it's something that could really, really take this program to the next level. And we'll see how it works out. But I don't know. Texas is, I mean, Tennessee is very good at home.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough.
We kind of talked about it last week. Said, you know, of this all, you know, you have South Carolina in the middle of all this, but Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, you play all three of those teams the next, you know, few weeks here. You wanted to get one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get Alabama at home. I think ESPN's predictor has that almost 50-50 right now. Alabama, though, is a team that traditionally has given Christians a lot of trouble. With the way they play offense, it just hasn't been a good matchup for Mississippi State. It feels like Tennessee, a team that wants to, you know, really grind you and play defense, is a better matchup for Mississippi State. And like I said, they were able to get two games off of what – I mean, honestly, that's a better Tennessee team last year.
Yeah.
They were a better Tennessee – they had Connect. They were a better team.
Well, if you look at how that game played out, you know, Connect was spearheading the whole thing in the second half with Tennessee. State had built a lead, and they had kind of shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second half, he just took off. And you look at what they did in the SEC tournament. State really flustered him.
Mm-hmm.
They were physical with him. They denied him the basketball. They made things very difficult on him. They kind of eliminated him from the game, and they were able to control it. I mean, I kept waiting in that game for State to falter a little bit, and they just never did. And I think what they did to Dalton Connect really did it. I don't see a Dalton Connect on this team. Now, it's a well-rounded team for the most part. I think they're still very good, and they're playing at home, so I'm not going in this game predicting a win or anything like that. But I do think, like, if State would have played that game last year at Tennessee, I think it's a way different ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You use your home crowd. You got off to a good lead in the first half of that game, and then it's a neutral site when you put them in the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
This changes things when you go on the road. And Tennessee has really gone – I mean, I guess that's just the nature of playing on the road in the SEC, but it's crazy the ebbs and flows we've seen from them in conference play already.
It was kind of interesting last year with the SEC tournament game that Tennessee just needed a win to basically seal up a one seed.
Yeah.
And didn't get it. And like I said, I just think State's a better matchup with Tennessee than they are with Alabama and even with Auburn, even though State
definitely with Auburn.
State was able to beat Auburn last year. So, you know, what State's got to do, you mentioned getting off to a good start. That's what didn't happen in the Auburn game. They fall behind 10-0, and it just it balloons from there. State has got to find a way to get some early buckets. Now, if that's Hubbard, great, but whoever it is, State needs to have some offense early in this game and just, you know, keep themselves in it through the first couple of media timeouts. Obviously, having Kugel back will be a big part of that. You know, he's really starting to round into the form, I think, that we wanted to know about prior to the season. We all talked about, like, this guy is sort of an X factor. He's got the highest ceiling on the team. He's the best chance to be an NBA guy. You're seeing that these past few games. So if Kugel can come out and provide more of a steadying influence, as a guy who's played at Tennessee before, not going to be a big issue for him, I don't think. That could be huge for Mississippi State, but they've got to hit shots early in this one, and it doesn't really matter who's getting the points. Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, like, I know we keep talking about it, but it really feels like Josh Hubbard has got to be good in this game for State to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can have a game like he had against Vanderbilt and you win this ball game. Like, I really believe you got to have all hands on deck in this one. To go win a top 10 matchup on the road, you've got to have the ability to hit those shots from the outside. And right now it's just not there. And I don't know when it's going to come, how it's going to come, but at some point he's got to be able to break through. And going to have to be able to play really good defense too. And this is a team that, you know, in years past, especially at that place, has gotten red hot from outside. You know, Chaz Lanier has been one of the best three-point shooters in the country. He's shooting 43%. He's hit nearly twice as many as anybody else on this roster this year. Zakai Ziegler's got 33. He's got 64. So they're going to try to get him hot in this ball game. We know what Ziegler can do. We've seen it for 5 years. So it's going to be an absolute battle. State's going to have one-and-done possessions for Tennessee, rebound the basketball, which they've done well. Absolutely dominated Ole Miss in rebounding. And take care of the basketball. That's been State's issue in a couple of their losses, too. They're just not taking care of the basketball. And this is a team that, for the most part, this year is taking care of the basketball well.
Yeah,
Cam Matthews and Josh Hubbard particularly, you got to take care of the basketball. Josh had 3 or 4 turnovers the other night. Cam had 3 or 4 turnovers. Was loose with the basketball trying to get inside. Don't try to do too much. But anytime you get a road win, it feels like starting off well is kind of the the jump start to that.
No, I can't imagine. I can't remember. I guess Ole Miss might have been. I mean, how did that game start for State?
State was up 14-2, I think.
14-2.
Yeah.
If they had won that game, that would have been the rare example of a team getting behind early and then clawing their way back into it. You know, most of the time when you're on the road, you fall behind 8, 10, 12 points before the second media timeout. The crowd is going to carry the home team to victory.
And State has had good starts for the most part in every game with the exception of Auburn.
Auburn is the exception. Yeah, every other game.
They were down 10-0 to Auburn.
They were down. It was tight back and forth with Vanderbilt.
When you're on the road, if you don't get off to a great start, you have to survive the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's always my mindset.
If you get to the second media timeout and you're down 2, down 3, 4, you're fine. You're down 8, 9, it's a problem.
Because I remember in that Vandy game, they had hit a couple of shots, and you're like, you know, that's not going to last. State was kind of trading blow for blow. They were staying in it, and then they started pulling away right before halftime. That's what has to happen in this game. If you don't get off to a good start, you got to be able to stay in the fight a little bit. And once you get to that 10-minute mark, if you're in the game, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
Winning a road game especially, and this is going to be the case in home games too, it is an absolute marathon. And, you know, that phrase that goes around all the time, it's a marathon, not a sprint, whatever. That is what we're going to see in the SEC. These games are going to feel like they're a day long.
Mm-hmm.
You have to survive every media timeout, it feels like.
And
you break the game up in sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has to happen. If you want to win a road game, it's just chopping the tree.
Yeah.
It's chopping, same spot until the thing falls. That's what you got to do to go win an SEC road game. And it takes several days to prepare for it, and then when you get in the game, it's a totally different story. So State has got a big challenge ahead of them against a team that's very, very good at home, 10-0 at home this year. It's going to be tough, but this team is mentally tough. Whether they win or lose this game, you just got to survive this first part of the schedule. Get out of this thing 500 or whatever, and let's see what happens.
So what do you think happens in this game?
I'm not ready to pick State in a top 10 road game. I'm just not. After what we saw at Auburn, I thought they would be a lot.
It's fair to be cautious.
Yeah, I thought that they would be a lot more competitive in that game, and they never were.
Especially with Broome out, I was like, all right, they have a chance here, and they never did.
They fought back in the second half, and then they got pushed right back out. Yeah. I just never felt like they were even competitive, and that was disappointing. But the good news is we saw them come back against Ole Miss in – play with a ton of heart, a ton of effort, when they didn't play their best. I don't think this team's playing anywhere near as good as they can be.
Right.
They're not playing.
Well, you can't.
They're not playing smart basketball. They're not playing clean.
Until Hubbard starts shooting the ball better, you can't say this team is playing at its best.
But, like, what do you think's going on with the – it's kind of like a mental breakdown in these games or something. You know, I think back at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were up by a point or two, or you were – I forget what it was. I know they were down by one with like 2.5 minutes left, and Hubbard had a chance to take the lead or whatever with the three. I don't think they scored in like the last 2.5, 3 minutes. And they just couldn't execute.
Yeah.
And then you look at the Ole Miss game, and you got a chance to run the clock down to a minute. You get the possession of the ball, chunk it down the court. And that's Cam Matthews, who is, you know, a guy that's incredibly instinctual, usually knows the moment, and, you know, we saw in overtime how instinctual he really is. They're just not playing, I don't think, like, high IQ basketball at all times. And they're not playing their best by any means on either side of the court. That, I don't know if you, I don't know how you want to look at it. I look at it as a good thing. Because I feel like there's so much more meat on the bone for this team to take off here in the back half of the schedule. I don't know if I want the team reaching its peak at this point.
No,
you want to win the games.
Yeah, if they can, it sounds funny, but if they can keep playing at this like B level
and
winning games, don't care,
because
eventually I refuse to believe at some point it will not click.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that at some point this season, Josh Hubbard's not going to start making shots again and everything else. When Hubbard starts making shots, everything else is going to open wide. It stays scoring as it is. They scored 84. They scored 90 on Kentucky.
They're still scoring a lot of points.
They're scoring plenty of points. When Hubbard starts adding, getting back to normal, everything else is going to take care of itself. So, yeah, I agree.
They're finding ways to score, but it's not coming easy.
Right.
You know, it's coming with a high volume of 3-point shots, or it's coming with, you know, having to grind out possessions, get offensive rebounds, things like that. They're getting good looks from three, I feel like. They're not hitting at a high rate, and you're not getting what you want from Josh there. I feel like he needs to see a few go in. And then maybe the floodgates can open up for him. But this is a big game. This is a chance for him to kind of round back into form because, again, I mean, every week is going to be big games. So this will be a big one to get. I'm not predicting a win in this one. I think Tennessee wins by maybe 8, 10 points in the end. I think State can stay in this game. I feel like Tennessee's going to have a run in this game, whether it be in the first half or whatever, where they get out to like a 15-point lead or something, and State's going to fight back into it, get it within 5 points, and then just kind of – I mean, I feel like they might run out of gas or something. I feel like that's what we've seen in some of these road games from Chris Jans' teams.
Yeah.
Like they go through these stretches where they're struggling to score, the other team's hitting shots – the lead stretches out, and they fight back into it in the second half, and it's just too much. We saw that at Kentucky last year. I feel like we saw that against A&M. It just happens. But I would love to be wrong.
I just saw the college poll tracker. Our guy, John Wilner. He has State ranked this week. Has him at 24th, which is the lowest of anybody that has State ranked. And he has Baylor, who's 11-6 and is unranked in the poll, and Gonzaga, who's 14-6 and is unranked in the poll. ahead of Mississippi State.
Oh, God.
Like, John Wilner, not a Bulldog believer. Just not. I don't know why, but.
Yank his credentials.
He actually has three teams that are unranked because he has Utah State at 20th.
Okay, so there's a thing on there that shows, isn't there a thing that shows just like on it how bad off
It says extreme how many pick. This pick is plus five spots from the actual ranking.
How many extreme picks does he have?
He had
12.
Three, four, five. He has five. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. He has six. So he has UConn 13th. They're 19th. He has Michigan State 14th. They're 8th. He has Utah State 20th. They're unranked. He has Baylor 22nd. They are unranked. He has Gonzaga 23rd. They are unranked. And he has Mississippi State 24th. They are 14th.
And it's not like you're ahead of the curve here and you're just, you know ball better than everybody else. Right, like, you're consistently one of the worst pickers in the AP poll.
And he has a couple others that are close. Like, he has A&M 9th, and they're 13th. And he has West Virginia 19th, and they're 23rd. So he's got a couple others that are pretty close. He has St. John's 16th, and they're 20th.
I don't know what his bias is. Like, it shows at the top, like, who he's biased for and against, but it doesn't make any sense.
It's funny. It says he's biased against Auburn, but he does have them number one. Everybody has them number one. They're unanimous. So, I don't know. Bias towards what school is that? Oh, St. Bonaventure. Everybody's biased towards St. Bonaventure because they all love Woj.
Because of Woj.
So, but this is he has Mississippi State. Let me see where they are. Yeah, so we'll see. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. Let's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the Cotton District, the home of smoked Southern soul food. Guys, when it's cold outside, a hot meal is where you want to go. Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Just go in there, get you a big old barbecue sandwich. Mm. Go in there and get you some pork rind nachos.
Oh, yeah.
Get you some
dirty deeds.
Yeah, get you some. I'm telling you, the last time I was in there, their smoked wings, they're always good.
Oh, they're great.
They were better for some reason. I don't know what they did different, but that was like the best batch they've ever had.
They're so juicy, too. Like, you can dry out chicken easily.
Yeah.
And they just don't.
They know how to do it. They know what they're doing
in
the kitchen. They also know what they're doing across the way at the Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich, the most fancy of all sandwiches in the Starkville area and anywhere beyond that, I would say. I love the Older Brother. That's a great place to go. I haven't been in quite a while. I need to get back in there. The reason I haven't been a couple times, though, I go in there and it's packed, and they're like, hey, it's just going to be a little wait. And I'm like, why would I wait? I can just walk over to Two Brothers and eat there, and the food's just as good. So that's the great thing, is you have these two options that are awesome, that are right next door to each other. So if you can't get a table at one, make your way over to the other one. Two Brothers and the Older Brother, two of my favorite places in Starkville, right there in the Cotton District. Oh, look, our boy Tyler Horka, who by the way, we got to give a shout-out to Tyler Horka's hair.
Yeah, he's permed.
He's got like a permullet now.
It's permed, right? Is that a perm? I haven't asked.
It's gone curly.
I don't remember his hair being that curly.
No, he kept it tighter. Now he's got a little party in the back now.
I think he got a little perm.
He's going.
I'm not judging.
They call that the swindle.
The swan.
The swan. Yeah. All right.
Everybody, calm down.
Stop looking at me, swan.
Oh.
Great products, great service. Anyway, I was saying he's on the hard count with JD Pickell.
Yes, I'm going to On Three headquarters.
Yeah, you're heading to
today.
On Three. Yeah.
I guess I'm going to miss JD.
They're all down in Atlanta today.
Mm-hmm.
Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing that now for 50 years.
50.
I think we need to stick with the Houston nut. I don't know about that one.
Bye-bye.
What just happened?
We'll scream up.
I'm about to say, lead singer of Slayer up in here. All right.
Raining blood.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway. When you need a new copier.
I'll do some Dave Mustaine tomorrow.
Yeah. When you need a new copier, new printer, you need to talk to our friends at Advantage Business Systems. Any kind of business technology, give them a call. And then if you need service on something, it's just a phone call away, and it's the same number you called to make the sale. Those people know you. They'll have that relationship with you, and it makes it easy. You're not talking about waiting a week to 10 days to fix. Imagine if your copier breaks, and they go, oh, okay, we'll be there in 10 days. 10 days with no copies? What business could do that? Absolutely not. Don't deal with it. Call Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Are we paying peppers for this product placement that we're giving them?
You can't even tell.
Everybody knows that's a Pepper's cup.
It says Merry Christmas on it, too.
Well, if that
I
was,
guess they have to use them all.
If that was food, I'd be worried. But since it's just a cup, we're okay.
Yeah, I think we're good.
All right. Before you go to the games.
Sorry, don't they put a piece of paper on it?
That's what they do. I need to get that technology that blurs things out.
What was the comments on Wayne's World? Like, I would never stoop to the level of corporate, being a corporate shill.
Just keep talking.
We got the Doritos and the Pepsi. would they have Pizza Hut pizza?
I would never do anything like that.
Brian's got a sixer in here.
I normally have a case. I gotta go back to the store.
Coca-Cola.
I buy zero sugar. I buy a case of Coke Zero like every other week, basically.
Brian thinks Coke Zero is healthy for you.
No. I don't think it's healthy. It's not healthy, but it's just no calories, and that's all that matters.
Did you see RFK is trying to get pure cane sugar put into Coke instead of the syrup or whatever we're getting?
The high fructose corn syrup?
Yes.
Okay, well.
We've also gotten rid of red dye, although it's going to take like 2 years to get put in a place.
Got to get some Skittles.
There's a whole lot of things that we probably need to get out of our food.
Speaking of that, somebody asked if we would do a blind Skittles taste test on the show. So let's see if I could tell the difference.
How are we going to do that?
Very simply.
Literally blindfolded?
I will be blindfolded.
Okay.
We'll get a bag of Skittles. You'll pull out one of each.
Okay. Are we doing regular Skittles?
Regular Skittles.
Okay.
And we do.
Might be a little more difficult. I feel like the tropical ones are easier to pick.
I don't
out.
Like the tropical. So that's
I don't
not,
like those. Yeah.
So what we'll do, we can't do it tomorrow because you're going to be in Nashville. Next Wednesday. So Wednesday, tomorrow is the 21st, 22nd. Wednesday, the 29th.
Okay.
We will have a blind Skittles taste test where I will be blindfolded. You'll count out one of each. You'll put it in my hand. I will taste it, and I will tell you what I think it is.
Are we doing the rumblings tomorrow?
Can we?
Might be difficult.
We'll figure that out after we talk about Maroon & Company.
Okay.
Because we need to get
I thought
that.
You were done.
I was not. Sorry about that. I haven't done Maroon & Company yet. Before you go to the games this weekend, make sure you're at Maroon & Co. If you need new MSU gear in Starkville, that's the place to get it. Bigger, better selection than anybody else. And we'll save you some money with our promo code THUNDER15. 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. But when you go see the incredible selection at Maroon & Co., you're going to find something that you want. Something maroon and white. Something cool. Something that nobody else has. Before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Rumblings. It's up to you. I mean, because we got to work around your on three conference schedule.
Yeah, see that, and I think that's going to be like an all day thing.
Okay.
So, I don't know. We might have to punt, unless you want to do it like Thursday.
We can. I can.
Can we move it?
Will you be back Wednesday?
I'll be back Wednesday, but
we're doing the show that evening, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to do a hour long show.
People will get. Kill us, man. Maybe we got to punt this week?
Or we could do it Thursday. We don't have anything.
Thursday for Friday?
Yeah, why not?
So Friday we will preview Mississippi State, South Carolina, and then do the rumblings?
It's up to you.
Okay. Let's just plan for Friday if we change that plan. So don't send in your questions today.
Yes.
If you do, we will not answer them.
We will still get questions because
people don't listen.
When people get very well before it even comes out.
Yeah.
They see that I haven't tweeted it yet.
They're like,
and I'll get Jay in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Sometimes Ford Polk.
Yeah.
Colton, like they'll tweet stuff to me.
Yeah.
At like 6 p.m. Like, come on, put it in there. So, yeah. We will. You're listening today, just wait.
Not a whole lot else to talk about. Oh, I did have the other thing. We yesterday I titled our podcast something like I forget exactly what it was like.
The
did we witness the
play.
Greatest play? So what are the other choices? I told you before we started. I think my number one prior to Saturday would have been Jamont Gordon's no look pass for that to Charles Rhodes for that massive dunk. Also against Ole Miss.
From a significance standpoint, probably Jarvis Renardo's block against Alabama.
Yeah. But not necessarily an awesome
play. Great play.
But it's a big moment for sure.
I'm trying to think,
we had to specify the men. Because if we say women,
remember,
if we say women, it's over. Morgan Williams wins, right?
And this is at the hump or anywhere.
I mean, if you could think of another one that happened on the road, I'll be happy to listen to your story.
Because, you know, Jamont Gordon's three against Kentucky in the SEC tournament.
That should be on the list. That should be on the list.
Again, significance. Timmy Bowers' layup against Alabama for the SEC championship.
Again, but like...
Or would it be the lane violation?
The lane violation is the bigger
one. That might be it.
Yeah, because that...
Or the non-lane violation.
Because shots happen all the time, right?
Yeah.
Like, what makes this whole thing is...
State does not win the SEC championship without Timmy Bowers walking in front of
Ernest Shelton. Yeah.
They don't win the SEC championship.
Moment. So, like, to me, when I'm talking about a moment, like, it can't just be a made shot. Like it's got a buzzer beater can do that, but like
How many buzzer beaters can you think of in Mississippi State? Like
Quindary Weatherspoon has three, but none of them are really significant.
Yeah,
like they're just buzzer beaters.
I'm trying to think of other great plays that we've witnessed.
So Gordon's got two on this list. Is what we're saying. You know, it's funny. I was trying to think about like the Final Four year. There's not just a play in there, a moment that just stands out above all else.
And 03-04, there really isn't either because the game State won, they won fairly handily.
State was really good that year.
They were really good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they killed Ole Miss that year. They, you know, they lost Alabama in Kentucky at home. Mm-hmm. They beat Alabama on the road.
Right.
Those were really the only games that were super close in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah.
If I remember, or, you know.
The only regular season losses were those two losses, yeah.
I don't remember it, but I don't, like what I'm saying is like I don't remember a lot of close games where it was like a big moment.
Right.
They kind of just like handled most of the teams they played. They had to come back, I think, against South Carolina. They were down by double digits in that game.
So that team
I don't really remember much.
I think we need to put this to our listeners.
Yeah. Right?
We've mentioned Gordon and the dunk to Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll mention Gordon's three pointer in the SEC tournament against Kentucky. We'll mention the Timmy Bowers lane violation, and now we have this. I hate calling it the sequence, but at the same time, I don't want to just call it the block because the three pointer is the ultimate result, right? So, like, I don't know what to call that, like, but I'll worry about that later, guys. Tweet at us.
I mean that's why we're trying to come up with this because we don't want to be
hyperbolic
about it and say like, oh, that's the best play I've ever seen, but. I cannot think of another sequence of events that happened in a game for Mississippi State basketball that was
Chucky Evans
better than that.
Like a three-quarter court buzzer beater to beat South Carolina in the early 90s, but that wasn't a very good team either.
In my lifetime, it was the best play I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm thinking like Richard Williams, that first SEC championship team when they beat LSU in Baton Rouge with Shaq. But there wasn't just a moment in that game. State, I remember that game. State dominated it. Guys,
Shane Powers dunk against Florida.
Did he have a dunk?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
He got over the rim, and I remember thinking, Shane Powers just dunked.
I'm gonna try to get Shane on the live show this week.
Yes,
all right.
One of my favorites as a sophomore in high school, whatever I was back then.
All right, guys. Tomorrow's show will just be tomorrow's show. Here's the thing with tomorrow's show, though, Robbie. If we're not doing the rumblings, the big story is Tennessee, is the game.
Mm-hmm.
So can we go in the evening, or are you going to be out?
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. Or, you know, we could knock it out at some point.
I just break
then,
Brian in?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know, because, you know, I'm going out to dinner tomorrow night.
We'll figure it out. One way or the other, there will be a Thunder and Lightning podcast up for you on Wednesday. Do not worry. I will make it so. Don't worry. Guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi. Here comes the air!
Talk Mississippi Media Production.